It is April 20th,
you.
Thursday. And we're about to begin the Committee of Safety meeting. Okay.
Hey, Robert?
Yes, I...
Yeah,
there.
This is Nikki. Yes, yep. I was, but I was muted. Okay.
Okay. Well, I wanted, before I forget, for Captain John and Nikki, we need to make sure that in the beginning of setting up a core group that we try to keep it simple. I know that you guys have got a lot of stuff that you want to teach them, and it's all good stuff, but let's keep it simple until it's formed. At least that's what I'm recommending, so we don't drive them away before they even get started.
Yeah, this is Joe from Detroit.
One of the things I was thinking about that we need to make sure that the core group understands is that they work for the people of the county. The core group is not the boss. The people are the boss. And the core group works, you know, they work for the will of the people. They need to understand that the will of the people is what is important. Now, the core group will organize it. They will keep the meetings. You know, they will set up the meetings and start the meetings out. But one of the things that their main function is to find out what the will of the people is. You know, what's the problem in their county? What do the people think is the problem? And those problems can be, those issues can be prioritized and different committees set up to come up with possible solutions. And the core group can help with setting up those committees. The secretary should be keeping notes every meeting, you know, the minutes. There should always be a record of what's done or what's in progress, you know, organization. But the simpler the better. However, as they go, nothing is going to be real simple. I mean, they're going to run into complications down the road. They need to understand that there are different resources for them to come back to, including you guys. At the, you know, make sure they have the websites to refer to. But some of the things they're going to run into, they're going to need you guys' expertise to guide them a little bit. But they need to know that they do have backup, that they do have resources that can help them through the rough spots. And that's about what I have. If Captain John and Nikki want to take over and get your feet wet here.
John?
Hello.
There you go. The only thing I have to kind of help with the simplification is when Robert had mentioned about problem solving within the community. There's the ideal way of problem solving, and if we can just remember that that what they call mnemonic, is that what they call that? Ideal, I-D-E-A-L. Identify the problem accurately. Identify the problem. Describe different possibilities and discuss them. That's D. E is evaluate them in terms of time, money, and effort. A, act on them. And then L, learn from them. And if need be, go back to I again. Identify where the problem was with what you acted on, how you can do it better, and do the planning all over again. Discuss the possibilities and the problems. Evaluate them in terms of time, money, and effort. Act on them, and then learn again. I yield.
You brought up a couple of more things, like you guys need to try to make contact with the other people who have volunteered to set up committees of safety and get them into the meetings, this meeting. And also, with the welcome committee working on calling new people and stuff, I'm sure there's going to be some new people interested in being a part of this. So probably you're going to have to set it up to where you're reviewing what you've already covered on things and bring them up to speed as you go. I yield. And the sound of silence.
And this is Joe in Detroit. I got a question. Where do I find these people you suggested I invite? Is there a list here on the website, or talk with somebody else in the main office? I'm wondering how to invite my neighbors.
Well,
The gentleman from Michigan, you said you're from?
Yeah, just north of Detroit. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Are you saying invite them to the call, or invite them to a training, or what would be your focus?
The whole activity.
What do you think they need? Say again?
The whole activity. Anybody that... Most people don't know what we're doing. People who don't know what we're doing need to know. So this call would be part of it. The Monday night call would be part of it. And training would be part of it, too.
And training and development.
Well, probably the best thing that could be done is to invite them into the Monday night call so that they start out, about what's going on with the MLA. That's probably the first step for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm having a hard time opening the conversation with my neighbors. It's
a license plate?
Yeah.
I'm not eligible for those benefits, actually.
You're not eligible for the benefits of the license plate?
Did you read the legal notice in the back?
Yep. There we go. Yes.
Oops, let me mute out here.
Hand them a pocket constitution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If they're interested in learning more, you've got the telephone number for the Monday night call or the website address for them to get on the computer and start checking it out.
Yeah, I do have the website address, that's for sure.
Tell them about the free courses.
Oh, free courses, that always is a big draw. It will even go to look at those.
Well, that civics course is one that everyone needs.
And I haven't even started that one yet.
Yeah, that's a long one.
John says we need to be ready now to tilt for the thing to get rolling. So,
Robert,
go ahead. I'm active in my neighborhood, in my church, but it's a hard topic to talk about citizenship. And even saying something like, did you know the Supreme Court made it possible for groups of citizens to indict crooked politicians? Even that's an outlandish thing to say, as true as it is. So I'm looking for ways to put that into general conversation.
Well, I would always keep two or three pocket constitutions in your pocket to where you can just grab one and say, here, read this.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got a couple of thoughts here. It's kind of multi-level. Your first question was about how do I talk to my neighbors is actually, and I'm going to play shrink here, so tell me to go chew myself if you want to, but
no.
That involves people skills, and not everybody has as eloquent an ability to talk to folks as others, and most of that is based on fear. You're afraid, it's not that you can't, you're afraid to go up and talk to your neighbor. Now, that's just what I've found to be true in many regards, but in your case, you mentioned you're active in your church.
Right.
If you look in the first couple of modules of our civics course, you will find some personal letters written by our founding fathers to their friends and to each other. And in those sections, and it's been quite a while since I've been back there, so I'm not going to be able to pinpoint them, but the point is, you will find that our founding fathers were quite clear on the fact that there never, ever was a division between church and state. Not once, not ever. And the biggest problem that they had at the beginning is that they believed in treating all religions equally, and there were so few public buildings and so many different denominations that wanted to use them, that was their biggest problem. They would have the Episcopalians come in at 7 o'clock, and the Roman Catholics at 8, and the Protestants at 9, and the Jews at 10. The biggest problem is they didn't have enough buildings to allow the churches, the religions, to practice on Sunday. But they made it absolutely crystal clear. There never, ever was a division between church and state. That is black cabal hogwash. So my thought being that you seem to possibly have a little fear about your abilities to talk to your neighbors, but yet you immediately were comfortable with your church group, perhaps this may be an approach that you can use. And what Robert and I and others have been doing for years and years and years is I have a business card, and I hand them my NLA business card, and as he suggested, dial into our Monday night call and leave it at that. I've done this at gas station pump lines. I've done this in the Walmart checkout. I've done this at the bowling alley. I've done this at bars. Strike up a conversation. In your case, you seem to be comfortable with your church. So bring up the historical context. There was never a division of church and state. And then hand him a business card and say, why don't you dial in on Monday night and see what we're up to. So that's my thought.
Thank you very much. I'll move on that.
I'd like to add to that, too, is that first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, which from what I'm seeing is kind of missing in some of the newer booklets. The first paragraph reads, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which connected them with another." That's number one. That was the primary purpose of that 1776 Declaration of Independence. And the second part of it fits in with the church issue and with the assembly issue, and that is to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. And the third part is that a decent respect for the opinions of mankind require that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. It's very easy to look at politicians and judges and lawyers and say they lie, they steal, they cheat. Your township supervisors or assemblymen, what they're doing is they're coveting what you have in order to, you know, build rapport for their cronies and stuff like that. So, I mean, you got a lot of ammunition, right, with that first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence.
Thank you.
I also remembered who it was specifically that did the most commentary on the "there is no division of church and state," and that was Ben Franklin. And as it's starting to come back to me, he also, believe it or not, set up a criterion of what constituted a legitimate religion as opposed to a cult, because he was afraid that the bad guys would sneak in with cults under the guidance of religion. But at any rate, specifically, it was Ben Franklin wrote the most about no separation of church and state, and I happen to just remember that. So that'll fine-tune your research.
Thank you.
Can I say something? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, okay. I didn't know if she had phones muted or what. But I have a booklet that I'm generating now in the public where I mention NLA in the booklet several times. And one question that I ask in my booklet that I ask a lot of people when I meet them is, what holiday is May the 1st that's been around for 58 years? Nobody has been able to answer that question. And I find that's a great lead-off question to ask people. You know, and what the holiday is Law Day. And, you know, it says that the attorneys go and have a luncheon, and then it says that they may go to the schools to talk about the American legal system. You know, and I say, less than 5% says, oh, yeah, that's happened. So to me, that's a great lead-off question to ask people that might would get them interested. You see what I'm saying? And
that's this
go
week.
Ahead, sir. Huh?
That's coming up in 10 days.
I'm going to wait in here and possibly seem like I'm getting off topic. But the problem with pegging a certain holiday or a certain date is when in time you choose to describe it. And I'm going to get into this in a brief deal because it's actually very important. I wanted to get this out anyway. Uh-huh. The festival of Beltane is an occult high holy day. And that runs from, February 25th to May 1st. And this is the time period historically, and this can be proven as actual fact, when the Luciferian side of the cabal does the most of their blood sacrifice, which is basically false flags. The most false flags occur during this period every year, year after year after year after year after year. And the Festival of Beltane, the occult holiday, ends on May 1. Now, you can quickly make the connection between the Festival of Beltane, the Luciferians, and bar attorneys. That shouldn't be a big jump, so I'm not going to belabor that point.
Right.
But there is some other stuff that's going on here, and I want to point this out because it's extremely important and very serious. We are in a run-up to, well, the point is, it is my intel that tells us that the cabal has only one card left to play to save themselves and stay in power, and that's called Project Bluebeam. I don't know if so many of you heard of it or not, but Project Bluebeam, in very short definition, is holographic technology that can be projected over the sky that can convince the crap out of 85% of the people. You can see Jesus coming down. You can see spaceships landing in the Rose Garden, monsters appearing, cities floating over Chicago, the whole ball of wax. Now, that ability has been greatly hampered by the good guys, but they still have that option on the table. I bring that up for several reasons. Number one, we're at the end of Festival of Beltane. We're at the height of Luciferian blood sacrifice, false flag. So we already saw that shooting on Facebook. It is my opinion that was done specifically by an MKUltra victim so that Mark Zuckerberg can increase his censorship on Facebook of, quote, fake news. So it's already started, and you're going to see more false flags. You're going to start to see shootings on Rodeo Drive in L.A. and on Broadway in New York and on State Street in Chicago. I predict something to this effect is starting to happen during the next week, and this leads up to April 26th. And the reason I specifically point out that date is because the state of New Jersey is having a nuclear emergency drill on the 26th. And anyone who's paying attention knows the direct correlation between, quote, drills and false flags. So I want to bring that all up in the context of what you asked about May 1st. So with that, I yield.
Very good.
My point is very simple. We should be paying very serious close attention over the next week. I cannot predict, guarantee what will or will not happen. What I can share with you is good intel that indicates what may happen. I take this seriously.
And prophecy does say that even the elect can be deceived, and that means that if something's going to happen that's going to make us think one way, and it's actually going to be another. So thank you for that bit of insight about the holograms again. Yeah.
Well, you see how they build up the fear porn with the shootings potential, and then they lead that, you know, they've already got the sleeple on edge and generating fear. And then you throw out this last-ditch effort with this technology that most people don't know exists, and they wouldn't believe it if they knew it. And all of a sudden, you've got the fear level up, and you pop the game plan, and that is what I am told is the last-ditch effort they got. They're out of cards.
And with
they
that said,
every other card.
Yeah, with that said, in speaking to a people who have got a somewhat of a biblical background, they know, you know, they've heard before that, the deception of the elect, you know, that if the elect didn't know, they could even be deceived. So just kind of putting in a bug in their ear about holograms and how they've become perfected over the years, which they actually have. And they were, you know, and what was that? Not the Twilight Zone. The spacecraft. They used to have the holograms and everything else on it. They had a lot of futuristic things, and this has gone back into the 60s and the 70s. And I can't think of. I can see the guys, you know, with the guy with the hand gestures, you know, making the V signs. What was that called? Oh, Star Trek. There you go. Star Trek. I mean, they talked about all of this stuff, but those things were already developed at that time. They just weren't out there for the public to see. So, and just bringing this to the people's attention and have them do research on it if they want to realize that when they see Jesus coming through the sky, it might not be him. You know, just make sure that you have discretion is, I guess, what I'm saying, you know, to encourage people to have discretion because of the times and the seasons.
We have
I'm not saying he's not going to. I'm just saying, you know, at this particular juncture of time, that could be one of the ploys that are pulled on us.
Every one of us on this call, everybody in this country, and damn near everybody that has a TV on the planet, has already seen this technology up front, close and personal. And that was the World Trade Center. I saw a plane hit. I saw a plane hit the other tower. No, you did not. There was no plane. You saw the holographic technology that I am discussing.
Exactly.
Do that. What? Everybody here, nobody saw a plane. They thought they saw a plane. There were no planes. That's a fact. And so this is the technology that I'm describing. We've all seen it, every one of us. Only now it's more sophisticated, obviously. And if you thought, well, do you see how well it worked then? Think about what they're trying to do next week, is my point.
Let me ask you this, this one last ditch effort. Right when President Trump was elected, I believe it was you who said, if I'm not mistaken, on this very Thursday night call, that you, based upon your intel, you thought that in 3 months' time, the Republic would be restored. Is this one last ditch effort? Is that in relation to the restoration of the Republic?
You know, I'm laughing here because I've been saying that for 5 years, but I got to tell you, this is the closest to being on schedule to a prediction they've ever been. We're pretty damn close. Pretty damn close. You want to get into some details? I'll run this past you very quickly. I'm not going to bore people. I'm not going to get into conspiracy theories, but I'm going to tell you what I know. Syria, first of all, you have to understand that the White Hats are in power. They control Trump, their guy. Trump is no more than another rider in the posse. If you think any different, you are way, way, way off base. So now the White Hats, in order to restore the Republic and bring down the RV and bring down the arrest, we are at open warfare with the CIA. It's all about taking down CIA assets. So Syria was hit in a manufacturing facility on that air base where the CIA was cranking out some bad gas. They took that out. And the other missiles hit other bases in the area. Not one missile missed. Not one. They hit everything they were going for. So that was what Syria was. And now the White Hats have given Trump the green light to go after the CIA franchise of North Korea and the CIA asset of Kim Jong-un. And when they take down Kim Jong-un, Japan falls. And when Japan falls, that's game, set, and match, because that takes out the last of the financing for the Khazarian mafia, which controls and operates the CIA. When that happens, we can mass arrest, we can restore the Republic, and we can do the global currency reset in the RV. So when you ask me, are we on that three-month timeline? No, we're a little late, but we're damn close. That's my answer.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, my next question is, will the White Hats, are we the people going to have to then deal with the White Hats, or are they, in your opinion, truly on our side? I mean, they must know that we have to do this from a grassroots level.
If you want me to answer that question, I'll give it to you in historical context, and then I'm going to throw out an opinion. The original plan was to do mass arrest, everybody, hundreds of paddy wagons, thousands of people, the Congress, the White House, the Supreme Court, the Bushes, the Cheneys, the Rockefellers, everybody, all at one time, big sweep. That was just not feasible to remain, to keep up continuity of government. The White Hats have everybody in place to keep the lights on in the government. The power grid ain't going down. The water supplies aren't stopping. The sewers will run. All that's taken care of. But the point is, they were going to do these mass arrests. Then they were going to restore the Republic, and then they were going to basically crash the global economy so they could do the global currency reset and the RV. But the planners and decide, you know, it's a battle and it's a war, and they're constantly working numbers and scenarios and trying to minimize the damage. But that historically was what was supposed to happen. And that was supposed to happen July 4th of 2013. And the reason it didn't happen is because the military didn't know about Strangelet bombs, which is way beyond the comprehension of most people in this conversation. But unfortunately, that could take out the planet. So, you know, if you lose 80% of your population, 80% of your cities, probably not a good move. So the White Hats have been learning and compensating for that since that time period. And so what we're facing, what we're dealing with right now is pretty much what I described. And it's a stage deal. So you have to take down Syria. You got to take down North Korea. You got to take down Japan. So that breaks the bank of the Khazarian Mafia CIA. So now we can do the arrest. Now we can do the restoration. And once that's all done, the guys at the top of the financial food chain, like Keenan and the elders and the Chinese secret dragon societies and all that, that have all this gold, can put their prosperity packages out there. And that's what's happening. And that's exactly what's happening. And it's cool.
Now, you know, that's all good and interesting talk, but we're not talking about committees of safety. We need to get back to that.
Well, actually, we are talking about committees of safety specifically, because the reason that I mention all of this is that we are, should be in a high alert. And all the committees, the guys that I don't know how many of you weren't on our Wednesday night call last night. We got an awesome report from Gunther out in Oregon. Oregon. Gunther, are you on the line? Gunther, are you there? Anyway, he put in a great report. Those guys got it together. So I beg to differ with you, Robert. Our committees of safety should be on top of this. This is the kind of thing, whatever.
Well, they should be.
You know, this is not a time to talk about stuff. This is the time for those that are in operation to put up the yellow light.
Well, we've got to get them formed before we can have them on alert.
Well, we're talking 1 week, so let's be practical about this conversation. Whatever groups that we do have, in whatever manner they are operational, I'm putting out the yellow light. That's my point.
All righty.
I appreciate your thoughts and response. Thank you.
I didn't want to go any further than that.
Yeah, I've worked.
Everybody else, we ain't ready.
I've got a comment on what you're filling in about the war that we're on. I'm in another group, a prayer group, and we talk about that all the time in prayer group, and I never heard of it here at NLA. And I thank you for that information. I'll pass this meeting on to my group. Prayer group.
Well, there's a whole lot of bad intel and quasi-intel going around, and the sad truth of the matter, and I have a three-year experience, is that a lot of these patriot groups are ex-current and retired military, and they believe in the military chain of command, which is an incredibly bad source of information, and they look at things through the fear porn, EMPs, fighting in the streets, bug-out bags, nuclear bombs, you know, insurrection, martial law. This is their perspective, and there's nothing I can do to change that. And to a certain extent, I was going to answer your question earlier about what is expected of us. That was a good question. And so originally, under the original plan, the military chain of command was going to contact the Patriot groups. They were going to get a hold of the 3%ers and the Oath Keepers and the militias, and then they were going to be used to help keep people calm, to go out into your county, into your neighborhoods, have information, have lines of communication and radio frequencies set up so that they could do that. Well, I can tell you here in Illinois, at least in northern Illinois in specific, that ain't going to happen. All of those groups are basically totally dysfunctional. So I don't know what it is like in central Illinois or southern Illinois or in other states, but that ain't happening. So the point of all this just falls down to the committees of safety or people like you and me that ain't got a committee of safety. But know this, when this goes down, we are the ones that are going to have to stand up as leaders in whatever group function we have to calm our neighbors, to explain to them what we're discussing here, to let them know this was coming, to let them know this was a good thing, and that we're going to have some hard times. There's probably going to be an unavoidable disruption of the supply chain, meaning supermarkets may go dry for a little while, or products might not be available, or because they're hard to get, prices are going to go up. It's up to us in whatever manner everybody on this call can do to help their community. That is the other stuff that I wanted to get to your excellent question. So with that, I yield.
Well, that's very important, all of that. That's going to happen.
Robert?
Yep.
Let me give one of my old presentations. I haven't been directly involved in COS for a while, but when I was, I'd learned some things. Okay. If you got to approach every county is unique. Every county is different. If you're going to work with prospective COS in any county, you have got to do some research. You have got to learn what that county's problems are, what its main problems are, what its that county's unique problems are.
Well, that's why you bring the people of the county together and talk to them and find out directly from the horse's mouth what the problems are.
Yes, let me continue. Okay. In every county, there is a COS. In theory, in practice, you have community leaders. They are fighting problems. Okay, right now, almost every man, brother, child, and dog has been affected, has been hurt by an out of control government. They don't know what to do. Okay, it's not like people are approaching this problem as a salesman. You don't go out and sell. You go out and you start off small. You find one of your neighbors, for example, you find out what his problem is. If it's a mutual problem, start off small. Mutual problems unite and start working on this problem and evolve from there. Now, but going back to the original concept, if you're going to talk to any COS, your sheriff, or the militia, you've got to be aware of what's going on in that county. There are certain factors. Is it a sanctuary county? Do you have problems with the illegals? What are the major problems? What are the major economic problems in that county? What is killing the economy in that county? Do you have federal overreach? You've got to totally analyze and become very aware in your county. That way, when these things are running around in your thought ways, you are spiritually attracted to people with the same thought ways and people with the same problems. Okay, but it's not a matter. Yes, you got to go out and search these people out. But when you're very knowledgeable about your county and know the problems, you can go to council meetings. You can go to town halls, and you can meet these people. We are in the end times. What amazes me, all these people that got all these theories and all this and that it's this way and that, they never talk about God. They never talk about the devil. To them, they have no spirituality. But this is a spiritual battle, okay? And souls, old souls are being attracted and uniting. You've got to approach it from a spiritual standpoint, from a problem standpoint. And from an act, you got to approach it from all angles. Okay, I yield.
Thank you, Ollie.
And I'd just like to say one more thing. A big sense of relief. That camel I saw out on my front lawn this morning wasn't real.
I hope not.
What have you been drinking, Ollie?
He said front lawn. I immediately thought of mushrooms. That, you know.
It was a hologram. It was a hologram.
Yeah, it was the mushrooms again.
Cannabis is legal in Colorado. Ollie?
Yeah. Yep.
Washington State too, right?
There ain't no pot on the planet that'll make you see a camel, but mushrooms, oh yeah.
Anyway, what you were describing, Ollie, is pretty much performance problems within the community and the cognitive dissonance that many people have because they're expecting what they're expecting from their courts and from their leaders is not in sync with what they were told this country was all about. So, yeah, there's a lot. Would a training, not training necessarily, but opening all this up for discussion about performance problems and, you know, cognitive dissonance is actually an important function because if people realize that things are not, what they're expecting is not meeting their reality, certainly they're going to be discouraged and turned off and, oh, nothing is going to work, the woe is me attitude. You know what I'm saying? So to kind of bring people together in the way they identify problems and then work through them.
What would be interesting, a real short response, have everybody on that call explain what's the biggest problem in their county. And let's see what answers we get.
Right. And is it a performance problem? Is it punishing for, you know, when they perform? Is that why they're not performing as they're supposed to, according to their oaths of office and their job descriptions? Or is it something that they never learned how to do, so they need to be taught how to do it? It could be one way or the other. It could be that they're punished for performing, or they just never learned how to perform because they walked into a job and were paying their salaries, but they were told by their supervisors and the people before them is that this is the way we've always done it. You know what I'm saying? So that's accurately identifying the problem. And if there's a solution to it, would it be more training that's needed, or would it be to take away the punishments that come from them performing, like with whistleblowers and so on and so forth? You know what I'm saying? And we could discuss those things.
I'd like to add a quick comment here. I think based on what Robert said at the start, I may have misconstrued what he said, but on the website, on the COS tab, we have Committee of Safety Registry, which has about 100 state, county people signed up to form committees of safety. Were you saying, Robert, that it's time to go through that list and validate it, shake it up, get it moving?
Well, yeah, they need to be contacted and given to this meeting, because if they're not going to get involved and they're not doing what they volunteered to do, it's time to weed out the people that's not going to be involved.
I think there needs to be more education as far as the people that are on the committees. I think that they need to be more educated about, say, their rights. This is the name of my booklet. Do you know your rights and privileges? Learn about the laws and what controls the courts. The committees, you know, like if you got people going out here trying to represent or trying to get people to come into an organization or whatever, and they don't even know the gist of it, you know, you're fighting a losing battle. You know, and then just like the lady was just trying to explain what we need, well, each government agency has a manual, and the manual tells what the agency is supposed to be and how they're supposed to be conducting themselves. So, I mean, did y'all know that y'all can go and look up this manual for these government agencies to see if they are in compliance?
No, we never heard
of them have been. lot of them.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. I have a booklet online, and it's only 9 pages directing you to the various websites for information like that. And the website is at www.bit.ly/2, which is the number 2, DTGRAD. Again, www.bit.ly/2D as in David, T as in Tom, G as in Gary, capital R-A-D. And like I said, that's the title of the booklet. Do you know your rights and privileges? Learn about the laws and what controls our courts. I've been getting a lot of great responses in regards to it. And like I say, I've mentioned NLA several times. I've even mentioned the courses that we offer and what have you. And I think that if they will not allow it to be on their website, then maybe you all will consider that it goes to the committee people or those who have signed up or whatever, because it covers a lot of different issues within it. I just want to invite you to take a look at it, because you can view it, download, then print, and then share this free booklet. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have 30 people on the call this evening, and that's better than it's what has been. It's growing by a couple each week. But there's a lot more than that that signed up to form these committees of safety. And maybe they don't know about the call, or maybe they just need some motivation to come in. I don't know.
I've been getting the word out about my booklet, yeah. And I think that it could be some traffic directed from my booklet, because I'm directing them to y'all's website. You'll
right.
see.
You
thank you. Bye.
I'm going to jump in here for just a little bit, because it's apropos. With our Committee of Safety in Lake County, Illinois, I have given guidance to our membership to go after the hundreds of committees of safety that already exist. And they look at me like I'm from another planet. Well, I've traveled all over the country, so it's that, and it's specific to my local area. They're in the poorest neighborhoods, in the poorest minority neighborhoods. And I'm going to specifically speak of the black neighborhoods now, because there's a larger group within these neighborhoods. They have block watches. They have neighborhood watches. And you will find in some of the most needy neighborhoods that a block watch is one block or two blocks, and the next two blocks have theirs, and the next two blocks have theirs. And all of these people that belong to these neighborhood watches are churchgoers. So the suggestion that I have made to our Committee of Safety members in Lake County is to start dialing some of these churches and talking to the pastors and asking if you can attend their services and possibly address their congregation either before, during, or after, or at a later date, because these communities already have the rudiments of committees of safety up and running. What they lack, as this lady just mentioned, is knowledge of the law, education. That's what we are, an educational assembly. And this is, as far as I'm concerned, a slam dunk way to jumpstart some of the participation in committees of safety. And in fact, some of our members did have connections with some of the pastors through professional associations, and they're working on that now, and it's showing promise. So with
great.
That, I yield.
I like the idea. Well, it's you guys that are the leaders of the group. And I'm here just Well, I'm hoping that you guys take the leadership of it and do the training and keep the call moving and being productive to where I can pop in and out as I need to.
Does anyone have any questions? Anything in particular that you'd like to hear on these calls or like to discuss on these calls?
I have a totally unrelated question to our topics, but it's of great interest to me, and I don't want to get into why I'm going to ask this, but has anybody on this call had any conversations with their local mechanics in their specific areas over the last 4 weeks? And have these mechanics or yourself on your own vehicle noticed some unusual anomalies in your vehicles, and I'm going to say specifically coils? I guess not.
Cranks.
Okay, I just wanted to ask, and there's a reason, but I'm not going to get into it.
Crankshaft sensor.
I'm a little bit hard of hearing, and so I miss a lot of the noises that are happening, so maybe, I don't know.
Why are you asking? John, why are you asking?
We can have a private conversation on that.
Oh. Okay.
Well, if there's nothing else, we'll actually close down the meeting on time this evening.
And a round of mushrooms for all my friends.
Yeah. All right. Well,
thank you for attending. Thank you for having it.